have Abby Johnson. I'm sure most of you have heard about her by now. She's from Bryan, Texas. She was working at a Planned Parenthood there for 9 years. First as a volunteer, then as a director. She was actually the employee of the year last year. So we'll let her tell you the story.
Hi. Or I guess howdy, as we say in Texas. All right. I am so glad to be here with you guys today at the West Coast Walk for Life. I do have to say, this is my first time being at the West Coast Walk for Life. Every year before, I would have been out there with your friends protesting the event. So this is really great to be on the winning side this year. You know, all of you are here today as activists. You are here out in the rain. Your feet are covered in mud. Your washing machine is not going to like you when you get home. And that is so powerful that you are out here today. And many of you know that I was involved and worked for Planned Parenthood for 8 years. And my goal was simple. My goal was to focus on the woman and her needs and to never think of the baby. That's the goal of abortion clinics. That's the goal of Planned Parenthood. I now know that that approach does not work. I now know that after seeing a baby fight for its life during an ultrasound guided procedure, and ultimately seeing that baby lose the battle, it's not just about the woman. We have to care for these babies. But I also know that we can't just think about the baby. Because after all, the woman is carrying this baby. And we do have to think about her too. We do have to think about her needs. And in order to do that, we have to be there where the abortions are happening. It's not enough just to pray at home. We have to be there where these babies are losing their lives every day by the thousands. I would not be here today if people had not been out there every single day as activists, just like all of you. We have to be out there for these women, showing them that there are true options, that there are true life-saving options. I promise you, as someone that worked at Planned Parenthood, they are not receiving those options inside of those clinics because, let's face it, options don't make abortion clinics money. Abortions make abortion clinics money, and that's all they care about is the bottom line. They don't care about those women. They definitely don't care about the babies. All they care about is the money. And so we have to be there every day when babies are losing their lives and women are hurting to show them that there is another way and that there is hope for them and for their children. One way to do that is through the 40 Days for Life campaign, and you heard David B. Wright talking about that, and we're working together now along with Sean Carney and some other people on the national team. And, you know, we kind of joke because the facility that I worked at in College Station was actually the first site, the first ever site of the 40 Days for Life campaign. And so we kind of joke around and say that I know 40 days better than anybody else because I've been on both sides watching 40 days progress. And I'm here to tell you that 40 Days for Life does work because I'm standing here. 40 Days for Life works because there are over 2,600 brothers and sisters in Christ that will be here in a few days praying with us. babies are being saved every 40 Days for Life campaign, and that's why we have to be there. If you are not already involved in a 40 Days for Life campaign, you should go to our website. You should get plugged in, because we know that the campaign works. We see it work every single campaign. But there's also someone else that we need to, there's two other people really that we need to consider when we're talking about abortions in this debate. We can't leave out the fathers of these children. For so long I watched these fathers sit in silence as their children were being killed, and they felt like they didn't have a say in this decision. I remember growing up in church and hearing our pastor talk about how men were supposed to be the spiritual leaders in our household. I no longer hear that in many churches. We have lost that message. Our young men have lost that message. They are not hearing that anymore. And they have been silenced. They have been silenced on many issues, but I can tell you firsthand, they have been silenced on the issue of abortion. So many times I sat in there with a woman and a man, and I would try to engage him, and I would say, "Do you have any questions? Is there anything you would like to ask me?" And he would say, every time, "She's made up her mind. This is her decision." But it is not just her decision. It is his decision too, but he has been silenced. And one of the reasons that he has been silenced is because he has been silenced by our present feminist movement. The feminist movement currently says that if you are faced with an unintended pregnancy, the strong thing to do is to abort your baby. And let me tell you something, that is so offensive. I am a mother, and I don't know about you, for the mothers that are in the crowd, but the blessing of motherhood has given me more strength and courage than any number of abortions could. You know, the early feminists were actually pro-life, and it's time for us to take that movement back. It's time for us to take that movement out of the pro-choice, the pro-abortion camp, and bring it back to our movement. And to say, you can be a feminist. You can be for women. You can support your husband. You can be a feminist, and your husband can be the spiritual leader of your household, and you can believe in the sanctity of human life. You know, the last group of people that I want to talk about are abortion clinic workers. I was one of them. And I just want to say that these clinic workers, they're not bad people. We want them to be, but they're not. They're simply misguided. You know, in many ways, our goals are the same. We want to help these women that are going into the clinic. And these clinic workers believe that they are helping women. They really do. Their intentions are good. And our prayer needs to be for them that one day we will be looking at them, not on opposite sides of the fence, but we will be looking at them face to face on our side of the fence, just like I am looking at you right now. There will be people out there today that are protesting what we're doing here today. They're protesting life. They're protesting the pro-life movement. And I encourage you today to pray for those people. 60-70% of people that work in clinics have had abortions themselves. These people need healing, and they need our prayers. And I'm here to tell you that the people that are outside protesting our event today, I promise you, they need healing too. We need to be praying for their healing, not engaging them, not arguing with them, not fighting with them, but blessing them and praying for their healing, because it can happen. I went to the people out in front of my clinic because I knew that their arms would be open. They never judged me. They never put graphic signs in my faces. They never condemned me or yelled at me, but they loved me. And they prayed for me every day for those 8 years. And that's what we need to be doing to those clinic workers and people that are against what we're doing. You know, Sean and David said maybe next year your clinic director will be standing up here. And it can happen. It can happen. Abortion will end. It may not happen in my lifetime, and it may not happen in your lifetime. But my commitment to you is that as long as I am able, I will be there in front of those clinics where there is no hope inside of those clinic walls, but there is hope where we stand because God is with us. And God is with us today. And as long as we are fighting this fight and we are fighting for the least of these, God will always be on our side. Thank you and stay strong.
This is Immaculate Heart Radio.